You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
All right. Welcome to the stream, everyone. How's it going?
Hello. Are you talking to them or are you talking to me?
I'm talking to everyone. The viewers are dropping off like flies.
Well, they'll come back around the 50-minute mark. So, you know, it's all right. Yeah. And they're coming back up right now even. So,
yeah.
Joe, we passed 2,000 subscribers. We're at 2,000 and something.
Hooray.
2.06. What does that mean to you?
Tell us what not 2,000
subscribers means to you.
Not much, honestly. I don't know. I feel like we get the same amount of views as when we had like 1,000 subscribers. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I think it's a vanity metric.
I think it's all fake. Yeah. I'm not focused on vanity metrics.
You think it's just Google bots?
Google bots, maybe
Russian
bots. Russian bots, people from other countries that maybe would never be a customer. But that's okay, guys. I love you anyway. Please.
I don't know. We got Sean the Don. We got Nathan A, we have Paul L, and we have Alex. So we have some people chatting. Who knows? But today, what are we talking about today, Joe?
Well, you tell me. You are the brain. You're the, what is it called? You came up with this topic, which I think is a very good one. So I think.
You know, we were having this conversation in the Elite Fleet the other day because they said something along the lines of, you know, I'm at this point. Should I start making articles? And, you know, Joe, we've had a long journey from just trying to get profitable, you know, many years ago to scaling to, you know, you branching out and doing the SEO and all that stuff. So I feel like we take a lot of this for granted by just how we throw out these things now. Like, oh, you can make an SEO site. Oh, you can make SEO. You can do articles for your dropshipping store. Oh, you know, you can hit 100K a month doing dropshipping. Like, I think people take it for granted. So
yeah,
I think I take it for granted. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's part of the game, but this is the drop shipping order of operations, tightly, neatly packed into an acronym you're all familiar with. It's not balls. It's not lint. It's PEMDAS.
What's a good way to remember PEMDAS?
Well, I totally forgot about this until you said it today. The please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. I put that in the email, but I remember one time you got like a C in algebra or something. And then,
the day my life was ruined.
Yeah. You got your computer taken away for like, am I mixing things up or did that really happen?
Well, what happened was I was in pre-algebra, like very early. Like they thought I was like super book smart in school. So right out of elementary school, they put me in pre-algebra in sixth grade. And, that was basically around the time when I started playing Command and Conquer Tiberian Sun, and you know, to really grasp pre-algebra at that age required a lot of work, and I would focus on my homework for like 5 minutes on the bus, so it resulted in me getting kicked out of pre-algebra, and I think, you know, I guess our parents were like, you know, this is not good, like, and it was a whole episode, and they took my computer away for a long time, it felt like, until I finally got it back. It was a whole thing. And I think you're frozen. Yep. You're back now.
Yeah. What happened with the Tiberian Sun?
I couldn't play for a while because I had my computer taken away.
I'm saying, did you beat it? Did you wind up beating it?
I don't know that. There's no beating it. I was playing online.
They had online play back then?
That was my first online game ever. That's how it all started.
This is the new online game that we play.
Yeah.
It's called Get People to Tune Into Us Live and Talk About Nothing on the Internet.
Well, we're losing viewers, so I feel like we should get into the topic.
Yeah, let's move on. We're 4 minutes in. People are getting upset. All right. PEMDAS, drop shipping. Let's go. What's the first one?
First thing you should do when you're looking at the drop shipping, a drop shipping equation, is that you should prepare store, niche research, and setup. This is obvious, but, you know, many people overlook it in a way because they overthink it, I think. And they're always trying to go for different different angles and wondering about this, wondering about that, but really just do what we say and make the store.
Yeah, if this is too vague, guys, we have obviously an entire course on how to actually do this, but yeah, the point is to prepare. And when you prepare, you're putting things in place for what's about to happen next. You don't know what's going to happen next. So you need to start this stage and then get out of this stage. Do the niche research, just pick something, just set up the store. I don't know what's before I skip ahead. Okay. Just get up some demo products. Like, you are so early on into the game, you know nothing. So do what you can and then take the next step.
Yeah, I think
don't put stuck on the P.
The prepare store is probably the most important part, is just get the store up and, you know, start making moves, because everyone wants to know everything before they start. And that's a mistake.
Deadly sin in this world of online business, because how could you know everything? We still learn things today, and see, we'll go years making mistakes and it still works. So it's something called imperfect action. So I encourage you to do that. Don't think that whatever you do has to be perfect. And Joe, preparing the store is important, but it can always be changed down the road once you learn new things. So, you know, as much as we're these worship gurus in the online business space, you know, you don't like everything we say may not resonate with you. It's going to be about learning your own path. It's going to be about, you know, you need to become your own expert. So we're here to guide you. Yeah. But, you know, it's you got to just go on the journey.
Quick segue, not a segue, but an example of something you could see. Like, if you look at our buildassetsonline.com website, like, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. The SEO on it is not great. You know, the landing, but I just kind of threw something up, you know, to the best of my ability in that moment. Like, that was everything I had to give when I was doing it. And we know we wanted it to get it up quickly, just to have the minimum viable thing that people could go to, people could sign up for our course, yada, yada, yada. But
and even that, Joe, I feel like even the 0 to 1 of, you know, being told we should start a course to getting everything up in like the initial phases of that was not done perfectly at all. And it still took us a while and it was still pretty hard. And yeah. So there's just something about that initial phase of just doing the first few things, just getting it spawned, that are very difficult. But yeah. Now, you know, we can always go back.
It's okay to do things imperfectly for even a while, even for a year. And then you can say, okay, I've been perfecting the imperfection. Now it's time to improve a little bit, make some major tweaks or some overhauls to do some different things. But when it comes to preparing the store and setting it up, you'll have multiple opportunities to do that down the line. That's the point.
Yes, sir.
All right.
What's next?
Embed suppliers. Call, secure, upload. We've gone over this, Mike. But yeah, I think embed is the perfect word, because a key emphasis on that. This isn't always that easy. Now, mm-hmm. The securing, I think, is the easy part. The uploading can be kind of difficult, because you actually have to assess how you're going to display this product catalog that the supplier has given you. They've given you a bunch of variations, a bunch of SKU numbers that might not... you have to translate it in a way where it's going to go on your store. And it's not a... Oh my God, I think I'm back online. Hello?
Hello?
That was so weird. I think we're back on the stream.
Oh my goodness.
Hold on a second.
People are coming back in. If you can hear us, let us know, please. Say something.
I think something went out. Like, that was so weird. Like,
I could see your message in Discord, Joe.
Yeah, you just saw it. It wasn't working for a while, though. I thought my internet went out, but my internet didn't go out. I was able to use yahoo.com.
I wasn't able. Yeah, my internet's fine, too. I thought the same thing.
What's that?
I was just saying, I thought the same thing happened, but people are back in now. It says 9, yeah. Watching. You know, the train just left the station and broke down. We got focused. He's here. That's how you know we're back.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't able to go to Google. YouTube streaming thing wasn't working. Slack wasn't working. You got your message way delayed. I was able to go to yahoo.com. So something happened. I don't know.
Maybe it was a DNS attack.
Yeah, they're trying to stop us. They're trying to take us down.
Ron Koch said, yeah, you're sitting on cord.
Ha! I'm not seeing the chat, actually.
Yeah, I think it's your blanket got stuck in the Ethernet cable. It's
a fire hazard. Anyway, what are we talking about?
I don't even know. So let's throw this deck away.
No, we got to go through it.
We're talking about suppliers, how you have to embed them.
Yeah, all right. No, so this is actually somewhat of a difficult part sometimes if the supplier has a complicated catalog. You really have to go through it and assess how you're going to properly display it on the site. And it's not always like straightforward. So it's not like impossible, but it just can take a few days of concentration. I think people sometimes get a little overwhelmed with that step for some reason.
Yeah. It's not just about the securing of the suppliers. That's why it's embed. It just happened to also be the E. Mm-hmm. But because you have to secure them, and then you have to get their catalog, which can sometimes be a huge pain. And then you get the catalog, and you have to turn that into product listings on Shopify. So this is a process, and this is something that we've had to work very hard to semi-automate. Obviously, the calling of the suppliers, we still do that, but this step can take a while, and it does require a lot of thought, Joe, because sometimes it's not always obvious. Sometimes the supplier doesn't have a website for you to just copy and paste everything. So
yeah.
It all varies.
Indeed, indeed. So next on the slide is M, the PEM in PEMDAS is make your final tweaks. You're ready to go live. So this is when you would start doing things like maybe you would install something like bold product options, add some accessories, little things that you could do that are going to really polish off your site, maybe fixing up your return policy, your shipping policies, because now you have that information from your suppliers. So you can get that on there ready to go because you actually are aware of what it's going to be now. And you get that live and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, this is the part where I like to take a look at maybe some other stores that are selling the same things I'm selling. And I want to make sure that my product page is just as good, if not better, than theirs. That'll give you a huge leg up once you start running ads. But at the same time, you can't get stuck here. A tweak is only a tweak. You don't actually know what's going to sell. We've had the crappiest product pages on our store sometimes sell, and then other times we put so much effort into, really making a product page look good, and it's useless because they don't even get search volume.
Yeah, or they don't. And that's the sad part about this whole thing on the internet, right? Is like, I guess you don't really know. At least for me, in a lot of things, is sometimes I feel like I don't know what's going to work. And so I just put a bunch of stuff out there. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's just how it goes. I think a lot of people that we've seen be the most successful are just willing to just keep putting stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's how you become your own guru. You just throw things at the wall. You see what sticks. Granted, you need a little bit of a foundation of like how to do things semi-right before you do that. Like even with the land stuff, there are people that literally just send out just huge amounts of mail and whatever happens, happens. But you still need that level of like how to do some basic county research, how to, how to have everything set up so that you give yourself a good chance at success. But it's okay, again, to take that imperfect action and just let it rip.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
FYI, I can't see the chat. It says I'm disconnected, so I hope you could see it.
Yeah. I haven't seen any new chats since Ron, but
okay.
That's I don't know.
Yeah.
That could be possible. So yeah, make some final tweaks. Whatever it is you think you need, run the store by us if you're in the Elite Fleet. And you're ready to go live. Don't dilly dally. Hit the button and start it up.
The sooner you hit the button, the better. I think that's the point. I'd rather hit the button today with a worse store looking store than a month from now with a better store.
That's the problem. People do not want to hit the button because once you hit the button, then the visitors come in. What if something's wrong with the tracking page or the tracking pixel? What if something's wrong with this? What if something's wrong with that? You got to just,
you're not going to know until you hit the button.
And, we have an Elite Fleet member, Brian, who was in here the other day talking about, all the sales he's making. And I feel like he Brian, if you're listening to this, you can chime in. He really stalled at pressing the button. He was ready for weeks or months, it felt like to me. I don't know. I could be wrong, but he just was putting it off for whatever reason, hit the button, and it didn't go so bad. So just got to jump in.
Yeah. So D is debut your ads, initial setup and launch. Now, why are we going? Well, hold on, Mike, real quick. Why are we going through these steps that we've talked about so many darn times? What was the inspiration for this stream today? Because I think that's important, is because people, they're not respecting the order of operations. They're trying to subtract before they add. They're trying to divide before they multiply. So what's the deal with this? Like, why are we doing this?
Well, Joe, go back to the very first slide before the P.
Okay.
With the meme on it.
Yeah. There it is.
These are people. This is the people that we speak with. This is dropshipping to them. You know, they're trying to figure out, okay, there's all these things that I need to learn how to do, and they don't even know where to start. It gets overwhelming because, like we said before, Joe, we really had to start from nothing. We had to do it step by step by step. And so we were forced to really lay down the foundations first.
Yeah.
Because if we had just spent months tweaking our product page, we would have never got anywhere.
Yeah.
We didn't even really have anything to go off of. So this is, again, don't have to think about anything else. You just move from one step to the other. Don't worry about anything. If you're an M, just do the M stuff. Don't worry about the D. Don't worry about the A. You should already have done the P and the E. So this is an order of operations.
I remember when we first went live with our first product pages, there was not even like, there was no thought into it whatsoever, really. Like, we literally threw everything together in like a few hours. Like, it was just, we made all the supplier calls. As soon as the email hit that had any sort of information, boom, 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 product pages are up. Like, we were just doing it 20, like, such focus that we don't even have now to do anything. But at that time, we were just...
That's true.
We were really hitting, like, hammering it home, like, getting the store up at a quick pace, and then just press and go. Like, that's... There was no hesitation. That's the thing. We didn't have anyone to say, oh, hey, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? We never asked anyone a single question.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so that's the reason, Joe. It's about the order. We've talked about the operations, time in and time out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a phrase, but yeah, the order is what is important. So,
yeah. So back to the D, the debut ads.
So there's a reason it's debut, because it's just the start, it's just the intro. It's just your initial setup and launch. This is not how your ads are going to look 1 month down the line, a year down the line, hopefully 2 years down the line. This is just the bare minimum to just get things up and running. And in the course, we actually go into some detail about this, because there is a specific way that you set things up. So that way, once you start getting feedback, that will determine how you do your ads going forward. Because there's, you know, Joe, I have a textbook on Google Ads that I don't really look at ever, but I've looked at it a couple times, and there's just so much information in there, and there's so many avenues you can go down. Like, in my opinion, we talk about like hitting the ceiling of a store. I really don't think a ceiling truly exists for any store, because there's just so many keywords, Joe. There's so many keywords to test. There's so many different audiences you can try and go after and narrow down and tweak and optimize, that it's a jungle, and you start feeling like that woman in the meme. So just get it up, the basic shopping ads, and set it to green. Let it go.
Yeah, so the basic shopping ads, that's the thing about them, is they're very basic. Google's picking the keywords for you. You don't have to make any decisions besides organizing the ads in the way that we tell you. You don't even have to make any decisions there, because we literally tell you what to do in our course. So yeah, like let Google make the decisions, and just set it up the right way. And then you're going to get some invaluable information that is going to come in handy in the next step, which is to adjust your ads and hone in on what's selling.
Cool. Yeah. So this is just what I was talking about. You debut and then you adjust. So this process can take however long it needs to take. People starting out with smaller budgets, it's going to take longer to adjust. And people that start with bigger budgets, I usually encourage them to not go crazy, because you don't know what's going to happen when you hit that button. You may be selling Japanese bonsai trees, and then all of a sudden you start getting clicks for cherry trees, and now you're getting clicks for George Washington cherry tree, and now you're spending $100 a day on something related to George Washington. So that's not what you want. This is where you know, start slow. What am I getting searches for? Do I want this? Do I want that? Do your negatives as we teach, and then just hone in. Once you get those sales conversions, they start showing up in the dashboard. You hone in. You start allocating the spend towards those conversions.
Cool.
And we have Elite Fleet people in here. Brian said it took him decades to hit the start button.
I can't see the chats.
Okay. Brian said decades. But Tim said testing, haha. Gabriel said, fun fact, that meme is from a woman in a Brazilian soap opera.
That's pretty
that
funny.
Is a very fun fact. Are you Brazilian, Gabriel? Manga Biera. Kind of looks like a Brazilian last name.
I wanna open this in another window so I can like see the chat. But anyway, while I do that, let's move on to the next, unless you have anything else to say about adjust, because the next
The next
slide is really the point of confusion, which is a scale, start over, or SEO. What is this? This is like really three things in one.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I think scaling encompasses the other two. But this is what happens after you adjust the ads and now things are working in the direction you want. It's time to make it 10x, right? So that means more suppliers. That means more money into these ads that are already working. And how do you do that? Well, suppliers, we know what to do. More money into the ads. Well, if you're getting more suppliers, then theoretically more money to spend should kind of open up because now you have all these new product listings, more things to make text ads for, stuff like that. And then where does the SEO come into play, Joe?
I don't even like SEO anymore.
You're done with it?
So it comes into play at the very end. Why at the very end? Because you don't know what's going to sell. That's the hard part. You don't want to do SEO. When you do SEO, you want to focus your attention. When you do SEO for a dropshipping store, you want to focus your attention on what's going to make you money. If you spend all this time ranking for stuff that maybe the supplier is not great, you never sell them, then you're just going to be wasting your time and wasting your money. But you have to know where you want to go in SEO before you go there. And it's a bit different if you're starting a blog. We go over that in our blog course, the difference between doing SEO with multiple different intents behind it, whether you're trying to rank certain things for a store, have a general blog. It's all based on what you're trying to do and what your end goal is. But in the context of a store, if you don't know what's selling, ranking relevant keywords around stuff you don't know is going to sell is a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely. People try to like start doing SEO when they're uploading the products, which to me is a huge no-no, because uploading the products is already time intensive as is, especially even if you're outsourcing it, you still have to wait for them to do it. You have to give them instructions on how to do it. You're not going to give a product upload team in the Philippines, instructions on how to upload products, but also do it in a way that is just like going after different keywords, modifying the descriptions, doing all these things. And that's just the on-page stuff. And then we're not even getting into the off-page stuff, like building links, like, paying for site speed optimizations, things like that.
It's crazy to me that you have sources like Shopify and like all these, like if you Google like e-commerce SEO, like you get all this generic basic advice that's just kind of meaningless. It's kind of meaningless.
Yeah, didn't we do a video on that?
We did.
We were on the website reading some article.
We weren't reading like an SEO. We did. I think you're kind of combining two different videos.
Okay. No, we were reading a Shopify blog about like how to do dropshipping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if we'd read a Shopify article for SEO, it would be just as useless.
Maybe that should be the next stream.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be like rewrite your descriptions.
Yeah.
Build links.
It's going to be even worse than that. It's going to be include important keywords into your titles and meta titles and descriptions. This is what Google uses to know what your page is about.
And on one hand, it's true. That statement is true, but it's about the context. It's about the order of operations. And it's about the fact that if you do that, you're not just going to magically rank for stuff. That's like, it's the best practice thing to do, but I don't care about the best practice for ranking for something when I could just pay 35 cents and show up for the keyword.
Exactly. And that's, I think a good example of this is, so say you're trying to rank for, I don't know what's around me. Say you're trying to rank for a couch.
Couch.
And you search for the keyword couch, or say gray couch, because there's a gray couch behind me. So you want to rank for gray couch and you have a product that's a gray couch. So just by going by that basic like thing, that generic advice that you're going to read about on a blog, like you're going to just include, okay, this is a gray couch. Let me include it in my product name, the product title, the product description. Meanwhile, you look at the search results. What is Google showing for gray couch? They're showing collection pages. They're showing Wayfair's selection of gray couches. They're showing Overstock's collection page of gray couches, which has 100 gray couches. Meanwhile, you're spending all this time on this product page trying to rank for gray couch when Google's never even going to show you. And all you have to do is just press go on your shopping ads.
Yeah. And this is the type of thing that people don't tell you. And this is the type of thing that, this is why you need to pay for courses, because you go and you read stuff online. How are you supposed to ever figure that out?
Well, Mike, but it's all available for free. Everything's available for free.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can go download math textbooks for free. It doesn't mean everyone is going to be an engineer. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how to solve it. Joe, have you ever gotten any crucial SEO information from free content?
No, I've only had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some little things, but like, I guess I picked up little things, but like no actionable things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not going to get you from point A to point B. It might just be, yeah, like a little free, little goodie that you can implement maybe. And we've done it with dropshipping too. Like there's definitely been times where I've Googled like dropshipping, improved conversion rate or something, and read like a Convertica blog or a Rank Excel blog or something, or watched like a YouTube video and then made some changes. But if I was going to actually really want to like learn about conversion rate and stuff like that, I would want to pay for something. And I have done that. And that's actually where I learned the FOG behavioral model stuff. It was like from a Udemy course about conversion rate and stuff.
Finish.
I don't know. I lost it already. Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of conversion rate, did you see what I asked you? Do we want to spend $2,100 to speed optimize that store?
Does the store exist yet?
Yes. And we're actively working on its SEO. Oh.
People are seeing the real life decisions here.
I sent you a thing. I was like, yeah.
I know. You sent me it. I was like doing something. I forgot to answer. I'd be open to it. I think that's a small price to pay.
Yeah, because
$100, make that back in one sale.
I looked high and low, and I don't know how deep we should get into this now, but it might be, we save all the best stuff for the end of the stream. So I don't think I was trying to look into like how to really get good scores like with Google for speed optimization on Shopify. Doing it on WordPress is more straightforward, but I had to look like high and low for how to do it with Shopify, because our store will get a good score on GT metrics and whatnot. But I think we really want to score good on those core web vitals that Google actually tracks.
What does that mean?
It's like in Webmaster Console, like there's a bunch of different criteria that they use. It's like time to first byte, like how fast. So at what point does most of the content load? They have all these terms that basically define like what's a good user experience, and they grade your site in Webmaster Console. And I actually think from what I've heard, they actually use like data from like Chrome users and stuff. So it's not like they just crawl your page and whatever. But the point is to get good scores on Google's Page Speed Insights tool, we need like some special work done is the point. So, and it's going to cost $2,100 because I looked for apps. I looked for everything.
Yeah. And so, to hit that 80% score, that 90% score, $2,200 again, when you're playing the high ticket game, isn't much to pay, because for one, it's actually going to reduce your cost per clicks, because your quality score will be better because of your load speed, less bounce rate, stuff like that. But, you'll make that money back. Do you know what our scores are now?
not that page great, not great on the Google page speed scores in GT metrics. And I mean, in real life, the site is fast. But I mean, yeah, it could probably be improved.
Okay.
So I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm open to it. You know, there's so many paying for so many orders, like things coming in, going out. I don't even know. I don't even know if $2,000, I wouldn't even, you could just do it and don't tell me.
Yeah. It's just, I don't like it. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying you should do that, but it's like, I'm thinking about it in my head now because you brought it up, but realistically, like, I wouldn't even notice if you did that because
realistically, I guess we're probably going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth trying and it's worth knowing for the students because if they're at the S, not the A, the D, whatever the other letters are, if they're at the S, then it's a good step. It's a valuable thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I can see the chats again. I have to pull up a separate window. Seems like should we start getting to some of the questions since you have a hard cutoff?
Yeah, yeah. Well, go to the last slide, Joe.
Oh, okay.
More slides. So we can get some free advertising in.
Build assets.
And roll the Kevin Zhang ad.
You want me to press the?
No, don't press it.
I could press insert ad right now. All right, actually, I'm not gonna do it. I kind of want to do it just for fun. See if Kevin Zhang actually comes up.
No, let's get to these questions.
By the way, press one in the chat if you want to see this turn into a political commentary channel. Type one in the chat.
Okay. So Gabriel Mangabiera is from Brazil. Cheers from Brazil. Building assets online. Thanks for the great content, guys. Boah, my brother. Brian said, when you are testing and adjusting, do you have a limit on your cost per bid when you aren't seeing results and the brand doesn't make the cut? Yes and no. You know, at this point, you can kind of have some feelers as to if a brand is going to be good or not. And I'm going to consider the margin. So if I can make $1,000 on a sale, I mean, that's a lot of room to play around, especially in the beginning when I don't know what the deal is. So I wouldn't be scared to make it like $4, $4 CPC if nothing's happening. But there are ways to gauge where you're at. So, you know, benchmark max CPC, search impression share, search top impression share, all those things kind of tell you where you are. So you're never necessarily like blind in the woods and you don't know, am I bidding too low? Like, does this brand just suck? Stuff like that. There's definitely ways to identify that. So let us know in your private chat. You can like show us the brand and show us the screenshot in your ads with those metrics. And then we can talk about that. Enter Ecom. Said, yo, what did I miss? Not much.
I was gonna say everything.
That nothing and everything at the same time. But we did ramble on in the beginning for a bit. We did cut out for a little bit, so probably would have gave us a thumbs down at that point. So it's a good thing you came in now. Yeah. We actually do have a thumbs down. I don't know who that is, but please show yourself.
I'm getting a lot of thumbs down lately on my that vid I did the other day where it was just me like doing SEO, like people didn't like that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So just click off the video.
Yeah. Jerks.
Whatever. It's pretty funny. Is link building as powerful as blog content? Which one is preferable when starting out?
Starting out, definitely blog content. Cause you'll probably have some low hanging fruit out there that you'll be able to rank for just based on the keyword without, link building.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple distinctions. So link building, if you don't have any blog content, you have to build links to a product page or a collection page. So
or your homepage.
Or that, right. So usually a collection page and a product page, those are what you're going to want to rank for if someone searches for that actual product or like the, you know, a short tail or just like a product term. So those are going to be harder to rank for because like, you know, like Joe said, gray couch, there's probably a lot of people trying to rank for that. Yeah. So you need to make a decision and figure out, okay, do I want to rank for JCPenney gray couch or is that going to be too hard? How many links am I going to, you know, it's going to cost me thousands and thousands of links to maybe rank for it versus a blog of, I don't know, Joe, what's like a gray couch type of blog.
I don't like gray couch with full, like you can make a whole thing about like the top gray couches with fold out beds or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, blogs will be easier to rank at first. Link building is good for getting juice to things that you want to rank. So I think making blogs, like Joe said, is more beginner friendly, especially with our lint method. Teeth health. Hello. I have lost my mental clarity and can't get any work done on my days off. No progress is being made, especially on my ads. Procrastination has gripped me. On another note, can I give my bank details to my employees so he can pay for the goods? Well, Teeth Health, are you profitable? What's going on there? I don't know if I could Dr. Phil you out of this situation, but I mean, that's fine, man. Just take it easy.
Well, I would say don't give your bank details. Like credit card is one thing, but like bank details, like
that might just be how they say it in Britain.
I'm just confirming. I don't know what he means.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up too. But yeah, you can give him a credit card.
Something where you have some sort of built-in protection, like fraud protection or something.
Yeah. Don't give him your bank and your social security number or whatever. But we have employees that place orders for us with our credit cards and stuff. It took us a long time to get there. It's only something we've done probably within the year. Yeah. And it's just because it's just out of necessity. But
where's Wooji at today? Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. He's probably done with us.
I had a question for him. I wanted to know because it was in relation to PEMDAS. I wanted to ask, like, in China, like, do they really use like an abacus to learn math?
Is that what they say?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when we used to go to the Chinese, like that Chinese restaurant, they would have the abacus, and she'd be like taking the order, like sliding stuff, like working on the abacus before there was like, I think before they had a computer. What? Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know how to use I don't even know what the first step would be to use an abacus.
Me neither.
Teeth Health wants to see political commentary. Trevor wants to see political commentary. Niche Creative said, good morning, guys. Great stuff. Good morning to you, Niche. First name Niche, last name Creatives. So I'm going to name my son. Teeth Health Central. I've dropped my brand as they were useless when it came to sending invoices and products out of stock. I hope that wasn't your only brand. It's okay to drop a brand, but I don't know. I don't know what that means, Teeth Health. Hello, Michael Lacko. Hello, Enter Ecom. Thank you for the thumbs up. Paul says, when you guys get lots of suppliers on board, what happens if a customer's order products? What? Oh, what happens if a customer orders products on your store from two different suppliers? Ship them out separately? Yeah, I mean, just send two separate purchase orders to each supplier. So you can kind of, if the order number is 1001, then to supplier A, you send purchase order 1001A. Supplier B, you send them purchase order 1001B. Just a way to keep track of it. There's no hard and fast rule, but yeah, it's just ship it out separately. That is what it is. They're not gonna say, did you ship this from a separate warehouse because you're taking Joel Mike's course? Are you a drop shipper? Yeah, I mean, it's even from Amazon, you'll get two separate shipments of things. So
yeah, definitely. Especially, you'll also get those little plastic pillows.
The what? Oh, with Amazon, those. Yeah, I don't know if we do those. Yeah, and Michael Lacko says, so there will be 2x shipping costs, but I guess if you have expensive stuff, it's fine. Well, I mean, if they ordered one product, you should pay the shipping costs on that. It's like having two separate orders at once. So it's not really any more shipping than you would pay versus two separate orders. I mean, sometimes, you know, getting two orders for the same supplier is good because then you save on the shipping. But yeah, I mean, we deal with that all the time. It's nothing to fret about. Brian wants to know when the next wrestling match is.
It's a good question. Maybe soon.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Every Sunday, coming to you live.
People seem to enjoy that video. I didn't know Nathan is like a sleeper jiu-jitsu enthusiast.
Is he?
He left us a comment on the video. He said he wants to go train, but he's got to bulk up first.
I don't know about that part.
Yeah, got to bulk up first.
Teeth Health has one brand, replace him with another. Teeth Health, I don't fully understand your situation. I thought you had multiple suppliers and things were going good, but you're coming in here talking about employees, talking about making too many sales, you can't handle it. So I don't know. I don't know. Teeth, why don't you let us know in the Elite Fleet what's going on?
Yeah, right. Rather than
these cryptic live chat messages on our streams.
Yeah, he just comes on the stream to talk to us. He doesn't tell us anything in his private channel.
I mean, that's fine. It's fine. We can conduct our business in public. So what's next, Joe? What's on the horizon?
With what? The chats?
Not with the chats, with life.
I don't know. I ate this hot sauce and it was really hot. It's like burning me.
It's to this day?
Yeah, yeah. I ate it like yesterday and it's like, you know. It was like the hottest hot sauce I ever ate. But it was, speaking of which, you know what it was like? Remember when you tried that hot sauce from the Hoth? And you were like, this is so hot. What?
Maybe.
Yeah, it was like hotter than that even, but like it had a lot of flavor, so I just kept eating it.
A lot of flavor. That's good. Yeah, I mean, I hope this video was helpful for people. I feel like we're just rehashing things at this point, but you know, when you're doing this stuff live, it is what it is. You can't be doing in-depth screen tutorials and all that, but if you have any more questions, please let us know.
I think we're gonna switch it up and do the political commentary.
It's fine with me.
No, I do. I have been into the commentary channels lately. I really have been. Like Eli the computer guy. Like, he doesn't really do political commentary per se, but he likes to comment on like current events, I guess. Like he'll do like some political stuff and like some like
probably get us a lot of views.
Culture stuff, but he'll talk about like tech stuff, like Apple's doing this, blah blah blah, and then kind of like comment on
talk
it.
About stimulus checks.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. That might be fun. I don't know how we'd format it in a stream though. That's the thing.
Get a deck. I think the formula is take the topic, make an acronym out of it, and then let it ride.
Well, these people, they just actually pull up the news article themselves. Like, they're not even bothering to make a deck. So it could just be.
Yeah, no. I know the type of thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You could do Shopify commentary.
Oh my God.
All right. Everyone's dropping off. That's it. I'm going to show you guys a Kevin Zhang ad and then that's it. I'm pressing it now. We'll see who's still here when we get back.
Absolutely.
I pressed it. I don't know what happened. Oh, Sean the Don asks, who are you guys voting for? Or is that too political? I'm not voting.
It's a topic for another video. Sean the Don. We got an article here. Shopify, this is a common keyword. Why is Shopify stock dropping? Or why is Shopify stock down?
Huh.
Is Shopify com safe? What exactly does Shopify do?
Huh. So interesting. Maybe we should make like if I end up getting a Tesla, we could do like Tesla videos.
Oh hell yeah, that'd be funny. Paul said do a video roasting furus. What's I don't know if you meant to write furu like fake guru. That's a thing.
No, I can't do. I I have to say, besides for a few things that are out there, like I'm pretty like anti fake guru stuff. Besides for when it comes to like automation businesses, like we could roast that. But as far as like fake guru stuff, I think it's overplayed.
Yeah, the problem is also like there's only so many people you actually bought courses from and actually know about. I wouldn't want to make videos calling out someone that I don't even really know what they do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like,
you know, it's like until you've actually gone through their paid products or whatever it is that they're offering, you can't really say. Even like I don't know. I used to think like, you know, like even like Big Luca or something. We should get Big Luca on the show.
I would love to have him on the show. He's gonna teach us how to make the money.
People don't probably even know who Big Luca is.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, people would call him like a scam, but I don't think he is by any means.
Well, we took his Kindle course actually. I remember it being kind of like, I don't know if we weren't really vibing with the content in the course.
I mean, I don't think we took enough action on it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to make a distinction at that level. And so that's the problem. Like, people who are newbies buy someone's course. It doesn't work. They also don't know really anything. And now they're like, it's a scammer.
Can you reach out to Big Luca?
What?
Can you reach out to Big Luca?
Yeah, I'll reach out to him.
I would love to have him on the show.
That'd be great.
He loves money so much.
He's Big Luca, big money.
I love how he just embraces it. He just embraces, he absorbs, I don't even know if he has any like real haters, but like he's always calling out the haters in his videos.
That's what I'm saying. He's actually pretty high level. Yeah. Dan Kennedy would loved him.
Well, he went to Dan Kennedy's house.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you get into Dan Kennedy's house, there's something to it. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's doing a lot of stuff in Italian now. That's how I'm looking at his Instagram. Yeah. He's active on this Instagram, but it's basically all Italian.
Oh, hit him up. Send him a DM.
Dacci comprano le persone. Dacci conosono, dacci gli piace, dacci fisiviano. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. People that don't know Big Luca, and we'll say this and then that'll be it. He came around really at the worst time in Kindle when like Amazon was really cracking the hammer. Or no, maybe this was right before. This is when like you can get paid with page reads just by someone skipping to the back of the book. And Big Luca came in and he's like, look at my earnings. And it was just like, just insane. Insane. He almost like, he went viral almost in like the Kindle publishing community. That was the first I heard about him. But now he does other stuff and he's a very eclectic person. But
do you know what we should do? We should do Niche Creatives. I don't want to do this video. Can you talk more about the sites you sold? What were the revenues when sold? What multiples they end up selling? I think we should save that for a separate video. It's kind of too late to get into that. But I would love to do another video on I lost my train of thought now. Wait, we were talking. Right. On the history of Kindle publishing, like the whole story, like Dave Cozzio, like the whole thing that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think doing history of internet marketing videos, it would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
We got to educate these people. Nowadays, we got these kids like Focus that just come in and just slander us if we don't give them enough content.
Nowadays, I think it's really gone downhill. Like, just the way everything is presented. Like, everything's too polished here. Polished now.
Yeah. I miss when it was dingy. You know, just like a blank landing page. Highlighted stuff, red font, things circled.
Yeah. I remember when you first
started. You had to figure it out. You going to do it or not?
Yeah, exactly. That was it. You had two choices. You either do it or you don't do it.
But yeah, you don't follow them on Instagram for 6 months and get thirst trapped.
But I remember when you first started doing Kindle publishing, you were watching a video of this guy and he was just in his car. And he was just talking about the Kindle books he was putting out. And he's like, yeah, I saw my competition did like 50 smoothie recipes. So I did like 500 smoothie recipes.
Wait, who was that?
I have no idea. I think he was of Indian descent. I don't know. Maybe his name was like Raj or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, Russ Raj. But there was also Dalton.
Dalton was the man. Oh my God. People don't even know about Dalton.
Dalton is literally my doppelganger doing Kindle publishing. He's not around anymore.
We gotta run that by the Elite Fleet.
I want to see if there's any Dalton videos around. That'd be so fun. Yeah, I gotta find one. I'll reach out to him.
He can't be found anymore. Oh my God. You know what the thing is about Dalton is that he would. Everything he said, people are just dropping off like crazy. They don't want to hear this, but
I don't even care anymore.
Some people are
keep going.
Some people are staying on. He was just everything he said was true. Like you could tell he was actually like doing the stuff, and his videos were literally like 1 minute.
Yeah. What the hell is it? Yeah, someone has this playlist of Dalton Scott Kindle tutorials.
I'm just gonna send the whole channel to the Elite right now and see what
they say. We're almost going to be eclipsing Dalton Scott's subscriber count.
Wow. wonder where he'd be if he stuck with it.
I know. But okay, it's enough reminiscing. We'll have to pick this up on another video.
All right.
Any last words, Joe?
No, I got nothing.
All right. Well, thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this PEMDAS method revealed dropshipping step-by-step for millions in sales. I'm Mike. That's Joe. And we are buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.